welcome to episode 239 of Checkpoint Chat. My name is Alessandro Barbosa. I'm joined. Matthew's already smiling, like smirking at me. Matthew's here as well. What's going on?
We got to watch that video feed. You actually gave me a fright. I was busy making notes. Like, hello. Actually, every legit gave me a fright. It's like, whoa, where did that come from?
But every week, I say, okay. And then we're going to start.
I forgot. I didn't make notes on my side of like, cool, we're talking about this game and that game. So I was just quickly doing it while you composed yourself and prepared your hello. And then it just appeared way, way sooner.
I just turned to you and I see the smoke.
I didn't even have
like
my stopwatch running. It's appropriate because it's Halloween tomorrow. If you're listening today on a Monday.
No. Oh, I was about to say, no, it's not. But yes, if you're listening to when this is out to other human beings, then yes.
Tomorrow, today is my sister's birthday. That's a fact. If you're listening on a Monday, it was yesterday.
Ah, okay. So if you wish your sister happy birthday now, you're actually late.
Happy birthday for yesterday. But remember, yesterday I called you and I said happy birthday.
Oh, now you have to do it. This is how time travel actually works.
Now if I forget.
If you forget, you create a paradox and you'll be sucked into a black hole and I will no longer have a podcast partner.
So, oh my God, don't even say it. So I don't know how true this is, but I read this week, where did I read it? So this is a random internet story. So whether it's true or not remains to be seen. Maybe it is Twitter. But apparently...
Or X, sorry.
Oh, X, God. Apparently, many, many years ago, Stephen Hawking threw a party for people, for like, long story short, for time travelers, to prove that like, if there was a time traveler, they would know to come to this party, but no one turned up. So it's like, therefore, time travel is impossible. Well, that is hilarious. Why are you looking so confused? It's a smart hypothesis.
How would time travelers know that the party took place then?
If it makes headlines, they go, yo, Stephen Hawking in 1989 threw a party for time travelers and they never turned up. Or
fucking time travelers in 2303 and they're like, look how we're going to fuck with everyone and make them think there's no time travel. We're just not going to go back.
I mean,
there.
That's fair. Like, we're just not going to appear there. But no, I think
their little feeble brains can't comprehend that time travel exists.
But my understanding, and again, this could be internet garbage, we don't know. But my understanding is that he did a tongue in cheek of like, the logic is sound, but it doesn't work like that. That makes sense.
Yeah. I think that's kind of like what the people who study like quantum physics and stuff, like they've kind of surmised. It's not like you can go back into a point and be there, you know what I mean? Because you going back there influences everything that happens beforehand. So that might end up, you know, whatever. But yeah, I don't know. Quantum physics seem fascinating. And now we have all these movies with multiverses because some motherfucker
movies?
Was like...
Just games like, as well. It's just everywhere. Yeah,
they're just like, damn, the quantum universe means we have so many parallel universes. Let's just turn that into franchises. And now we
are in the mess that we're in. Yeah, there were two or three... I can't even remember the top of my head, but there were two or three games recently, back to back, where I was like... Oh, sorry. Okay, spoiler. One of them was Mortal Kombat. And there was another one.
Oh, yeah.
There was
one
I played literally before that. I was like...
Mortal Kombat's fucking egregious with that stuff, though. It is like... Oh, here are all these timelines that are split up based on who we think won the final battle in this game. It's like, come on.
Then it really is like, oh, here's so-and-so from this universe. And so-and-so, they just keep coming.
And everyone seems so chill with it.
Yeah.
So just like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Like at the beginning of that game, Johnny Cage is just an actor. And by the end, he's just chilling with multiple different versions of the same character from different universes. I'm still laughing in my head about that final final encounter in Mortal Kombat and some of the opponents you face. My God.
Real good. I'm glad I didn't touch on the other game that has that because that's actually a spoiler. So you heard nothing.
Super Mario Wonder.
You know, when all the other Mario from the other Mario verses started appearing, man, that's when I was like, yo, you did it, Nintendo. You nailed it.
Well, I know it's not Spider-Man because you're not as far as me, so I don't know what you're talking about.
A while ago. Good. You heard nothing. So the only
Hollow Knight Silk Song.
There's a multiverse that exists. It's just not ours.
Yeah, it's just not ours. Dear God.
I feel like it's a whole back time. That you're like, yeah.
I want to be able to hop between universes just so I can play Silk Song.
I'm telling you, next year it's coming out. If not a surprise.
I feel like I said that last year.
it's a shadow drop in December. I mean,
Yeah. Jeff Keighley's just going to be on stage at the Game Awards and just be like, Silk Song, and then drop the microphone, and then the credits roll on the whole thing.
And then you'll walk back on, and you'll be like, out now, and then you'll drop the mic again. You'll walk out.
He'll throw it at someone in the audience. Just
like, why will he throw it at someone?
And then someone will ask, they'll be like, where are the awards? He'll be like, go home. Play Silk Song.
You haven't watched The Fall of the House of Usher yet, eh?
Not yet, no. I really do want to.
Okay, I need you to remember. It's not at all the same thing, but I need you to remember Mark throwing into the audience. It'll make sense when you get there.
Okay.
Just jot that down in your brain.
Wait, in terms of time travel, are you talking about a TV series?
No. Why?
Oh, okay, I thought you were talking about Castlevania because I'm making my way through Nocturne at the moment.
How far are you?
I'm going to be real. So... I'm struggling with it. I won't lie.
Let me tell you.
I like the animation. I think it looks really good. I think the fights are still top notch. I'm struggling to give a shit about Richter and about his little pals. And I just, like three episodes in.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay. Just keep watching. Let me tell you, it is worth it for that final episode reveal. Just go through it. Just do it.
I tell you, if we have our boy Richter in a video game and Alucard does not show up, I'm going to be.
You're going to be pissed. I thought it took a while to get going. I mean, I enjoyed the first episode. Then there were a few like episodes, but then.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of establishing ones, but it just feels like pieces are being moved in, like there's not much actually happening. But yeah, I guess the episode I just watched was with the, so you have the two vampire hunters. Who joined Richter, and then the one lady who can like conjure things from sand or whatever. Yeah, yeah. And you get to hear her backstory, and that was pretty good actually. So that's what I just finished. But yeah, that animation's still good.
It's real good.
Richter's a good asshole. He's great.
What I didn't like about him, and this is completely unfair, is that it just didn't sound like Trevor. Trevor had like
Trevor had a good voice actor.
Good voice actor. Not to say that, what's his name? I've blanked now. Richter. Not to say he's not a good voice actor. I'm just used to Trevor.
And I think like, again, this is also unfair, but missing the sort of chemistry that, Trevor and Cypher had.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Like their relationship, how it grew and how it was so sarcastic at first between the two, and then they ended up being very close, like was really cool.
Yeah.
And I just don't get that with Richter and, is it Sophia?
Maria.
Maria, sorry.
Maria. Yeah. What's the other lady's name? I can't remember. It's gone from me. I'd recommend.
I'm gonna stick with it for sure. It's just like, I don't know. I rewatched the original Castlevania multiple times. Like when each new season came out, I went back and started it again. And just, I mean, it helps that the first season is literally only four episodes. So,
but they're also very quick to get through anyway.
They are. They're like half an hour episodes. So that's good. And it's only eight. Eight is a good number for a season. So
yeah.
There's a lot to watch. There's a new season of Invincible coming out next week.
I started watching that, by the way. I've never seen the first season.
Do you have any context as to what Invincible is?
No, but I've watched the first episode.
Amazing. You're in for such a wild ride. It's so good.
I kind of knew something was going to happen there because, okay, if you've not watched Invincible, turn off the... Pull the car over and throw your radio out the window.
Turn off your headphones, throw them out the window.
I always knew there was something up with Omni-Man because, like, he, for example, he's a DLC character in Mortal Kombat. And I've watched those fatalities. And I'm like, it strikes me as someone
a good
who's,
guy's not going to do that.
Yeah,
shit.
A good guy's not going to do that. So I was like, okay, there's definitely something up with him. I just don't know what it is. So when that first episode thing happened, I was like, oh, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish I had that completely fresh, but I was still like, oh my God.
you don't worry. You still have so many wild things to come. Like, you have not even seen what that show has to offer yet.
I'm ready.
Yeah, I read the a good friend Darren gave me the full like collection of comics years ago
because
he was raving
comics,
about the series. Yeah, so I've read most of them. I don't actually know if I finished all of it, but I've read what the first season and I think what the second season are going to adapt.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, when it got there in the comics, it was also like, oh my God, and just like. Yeah, the way this first season ends, it's just picture perfect for how it's represented in the comic.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's fucking fantastic. It's such a good first season. Mm. You are very fortunate that you haven't had to wait nearly
a long time,
3 years for the second season. Yeah,
also,
it's been so long.
I always thought, I know this is ridiculous, but I almost thought the first season was a bit like anime and that there were like 20 episodes, for example, 20, 30 minute episodes. Like, no, it's just 8 hour long episodes. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay.
And there was a special episode that was released earlier this year focusing on, have you met Atom Eve?
I've heard them. I think in the start of the second episode, I think you see.
Yeah, she's a hero that's dressed in pink.
Yeah, yeah, I think I have seen her.
Yeah, Atom Eve. So there's a special episode that focuses just on her that is pretty good.
Okay.
That you should watch after the first season, yeah.
Yeah, now I get to it. Lots to watch.
It's good stuff. Also on Amazon, Gen V, which I really want to get to.
Yeah, I also want to get to that.
It's a prequel to The Boys. I think the last episode's out next week, so then it'll be a good time to
can just binge, all
binge
that nice.
Bad boy. Yeah.
Nice.
Because that's the thing with Amazon, it's weekly. So even the new Invincible series is out next week or the week after, it's going to be one episode a week. So, hello.
Bushy tail. Who's that? Is that
good
Toby?
Lord, why are you like this? No, this is Abby. There's no one as elegantly
as
bushy.
Fluffy, yeah.
Look at this. This is just absolute chaos happening here. And she does this thing where she comes and she only wants love when someone's at a desk and they're working. And then she's like, my time to shine. Look at this. And she'll just like head boop your hand. So often I've been doing work with my mouse and she'll hit my hand and it'll click my finger and I'll close something.
And you'll delete like, oh, all your work. Like,
And she's like, good, now pet me.
As planned.
Okay, now she's on top of my PC. So if it overheats and spontaneously combusts, you know.
You're
why.
Not playing Alan Wake 2.
I mean, as you can see, it is very hot here. I am in the traditional Benoni gear.
Nice. Not even in Benoni.
I'm representing my people on this book day.
Are you even watching? Yes, we didn't even get to that. But are you even watching the rugby if you're not wearing your vest to the nearest pub in Benoni?
Sure. I mean, listen, if you rock up there with more than 10 sleeves, they will kick you out.
So you've got one sleeve or more. We're going to have to...
Sorry, you're wearing jeans, but you've got one sleeve. Yeah, get out of here.
Are they rolled up? Yes, okay, that's good. But your sleeves, too many.
Yeah, we can cut them off for you.
Yeah, good luck with that. We're going to age again today. Can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be... well, who knows? By the time you're listening to this, either South Africa are world champions or...
Not world champions.
World champions.
Sorry to find out this way.
Yeah, so sorry. If you were keeping it and not hoping for no spoilers, that's not how sports work. I'm very sorry.
Yeah. Well, we don't know the result anyway.
Do you know where spoilers do work, though?
Yes. Tell us. Tell us where. I have no idea.
Video games.
Oh my God. I can't believe this.
Who could have seen this coming? Oh my goodness. Out of nowhere. Well, what just happened? It looked like screen flashed for a second, and I was like, that's weird.
So funny. It's because I've got like built-in lighting here because I'm on a white background, and the moment I flip to a darker background, it's like,
yeah, whoa. It's like changing your contrast. Yeah. Video games. Guess what? We haven't played more Mario and Spider-Man because life gets in the way. Life doesn't find a way. It
barely
gets in
touched.
The way.
Yeah, but I've barely touched. I've played a bit more than last week, but I can't really add on to either. I can tell you.
I've literally not touched either since last weekend.
Spider-Man 2, good game. Super Mario Wonder, good game. Still enjoying
very
both.
Good game.
We'll definitely play more this week, but I
keep hearing things about Super Mario Wonder that I'm like, holy, I need to play this game. Like, So I was listening to, as I do, because it's one of the only podcasts I listen to nowadays, is Giant Bomb.
Checkpoint.
Good old Jeff Grubb and Dan Reichert, big Super Mario fans. And they were talking about like whether or not they're going to 100% this game. And Dan was like, yeah, definitely. And then he mentioned something that I am glad I know from the get-go, because it's going to save me a lot of time if I want to do the same. Hitting the top of the flagpole counts towards the 100%. And I was like, I've already missed one. So I'm gonna go back, because that is the last thing I want to do, is like
go back,
like wrap
just
those
that.
Up.
So when you, before you enter a level, or even after you enter a level, it'll tell you like, here's how many purple coins you found, and there's a flag icon. It's like, did you get the top of the flag, or did you not? And you'll notice as the game goes on, getting the top of the flag is, I mean, in typical Mario fashion, they do get harder as the game goes, even if they counted for nothing the previous games. But yeah, there are like very specific mechanics or things to get to the top of the flag. It's like, oh, like, yes, I want this challenge. I will try to get to the top of the flag. So yeah, but there's another thing, like, so you get, I guess we're talking about Mario quickly for 5 minutes. You get the 3 purple coins, you get the top of the flag, and then you get the Wonder Seeds per level. Like, one, two,
so
three.
So is it only those three things?
I've got on my very first level, there's like, it's not a stamp, but there's like a thing overlaid on the level. And I don't have it on anything else. I'm like, what did I do to trigger that? Or is that like a 100% stamp? But I'm like, I have 100% at other levels as well. To my knowledge, like, I've got 3 purple coins, I've got all the Wonder Seeds, I've got the top of the flag. I'm like, what is that? So I don't know. I need to investigate. Maybe
is it not specific maybe to that, like, because the tutorial area or the first level sits within its own portion of the map. Maybe it's like you've completed this world. I don't know.
But that was a distinct like, what is that? I don't know how to tick that off on
trigger
other
that
levels.
Again.
Yeah. So I'll have a look. I've just not seen it pop up on any other levels. But yeah, get the top of that flag. It's important for your own soul. if you miss the top, you got to restart the level. It's the law.
Oh, fuck. And you only get one shot, because as soon as you hit that flag, the level just ends.
Look, I think unless you're not paying attention, it's very difficult to not hit the top of the flag. There's been maybe...
like I said, I've already not.
No. Well, you know now. But I mean, there's been one level where it's like, oh, if you mess up this jump or this platform, you have to restart the level. But generally, it's like, you're aware, like, okay, let me not mess this up. It's a good game. It's really good.
Yeah, really good. I'm keen to see more Wonder Seed bullshit
stuff.
I'm keen to see something called badges, apparently, that they give you like powers and stuff like that.
Yeah, and you get a ton there. There's one badge that makes Mario a spring, basically. So you spring, you can't stand still. You literally spring left and right, or up and down in the level.
Sounds like that one Astro's Playroom level.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not quite the same. But yeah, you get lots of badges to help mix things up, which is neat.
Good game.
Go play
good
it.
Game.
Spider-Man
you know,
2.
So I don't want to relitigate something from another podcast, but like... Dan Reichert doesn't consider this a mainline Mario game, and I think that's the most insane thing I've ever heard.
Why not?
It's a 2D Mario game.
How's it not a... Does he only consider 3D games?
No, games? He considers the lineage of Mario games as the mainline. So the original Super Mario Bros. Being 2D and then it eventually evolving into the 3D series, another 3D series is the mainline.
So is this just...
It's insane. Spin-off? Don't worry. It's insane. It's... Just wanted to see your reaction. Just
is Dan Reichardt the guy who's... You linked me a video of him doing dumb bullshit.
Yeah, he was the one who recorded himself in a green screen and then superimposed himself on himself during the...
Loved that man until 2 minutes ago.
He is the American Darren. Like 100%. It is unbelievable how similar they are. Like they have fucking crazy food takes. Like,
well, therefore he's a national treasure and they must both be protected at all costs.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Like infinite sources of entertainment. But
yeah.
My God. My God. Just some of the... Just Darren, just yesterday, thought durians were an internet joke played only on him and him alone.
Well, in Darren's defense, so did Umar.
No. So there was a difference there. Umar didn't know they existed.
Yeah.
That's fine. Oh, like, Darren, I'm sure there's fruits that I don't know they exist. Darren thought they were specifically a joke. Okay. Yeah, like a TikTok fabricated joke that was served. That's very that different. Hilarious.
So for those of you who don't know, if you don't know what a durian is, tell us so we can, well, we'll educate you now anyway. A durian is an actual fruit.
Stinky fruit.
I think it's specific to Asia only. I could be wrong.
Certain Asian countries, I'm not entirely sure
it's
where.
It's a big old spiky fruit, which apparently smells horrific to the point where it's legally banned on some public transport systems. But if you can get past the smell, apparently it's delicious. So I don't know.
Durian ice cream.
Durian ice cream. I mean, I only know about durian because of my boy Link in Breath of the Wild. The durian was...
That's also crazy.
The... No, I mean, I'd heard of it before, but that is the thing of like...
I didn't even know it was in Breath of the Wild. Like when you brought that up, I was like, what? And then I looked it up. I was like, oh yeah.
It is the most important fruit in Breath of the Wild. You cook one of those bad boys, it gives you +4 max hearts.
And then they took it out Tears of the Kingdom.
I was like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I know durian from Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. And I was like, I actually haven't seen one in Tears of the Kingdom yet. And I Googled it. And one of the first things is like an actual news piece from a Polygon or someone going like, fans are outraged. The durian's been removed from Tears of the Kingdom. It was like, yeah, that's outrageous.
Ganondorf came back and changed the world and also just removed single durian ever.
To be fair, it's a power move because the durian fruit is overpowered. If you cook...
He knew from the first game. He's like, Link beat me because of the durians.
If you cook 5 durians, I think you get +20. It's super strong.
Too much.
It's the best fruit in the game.
New Ganon is like, fuck all this shit. I know how to beat Link. I'm going to take away durians.
You want to come full circle on the time travel.
Yeah.
Tears of the Kingdom. I mean, that's
it's true.
That's like a very...
It's true. If he removes durians, look at the disarray that Hyrule is in Tears of the Kingdom. Purely because they've not been exposed to durians.
I mean, you never know.
I want you to cut this whole segment out to make it a YouTube short. This is fantastic. I love this so much.
About durians?
Yes.
I have thought, yes, I need to spend more time cutting out some nonsense for TikTok and YouTube shorts because...
I think the last one you did was when Abby was fucking with me on my keyboard, which is real funny.
I've had it on my desktop for weeks now. I've been forgetting to share it. It's when you're talking about lubing keyboards.
Oh my God.
And just my face. I just be going like, I just need to make a note to share it because it's great. You're not even speaking shit. You're like, blah, blah. But I'm like, if you're listening to this, the little gutter brain, you're like,
out of context.
Like you've got to lube your keys and make sure they stuck real. And I'm like, what's going on here?
This is what I think a lot of people at work think about, because there's like 2 or 3 other keyboard freaks at work with me, and we'll often just chat in an open office about this stuff. And I'm sure people are like, what the fuck are they talking about? Like,
yeah, we've where, I mean, in my South African office, we've got out of context things as well, where if anyone were, and we're talking about games for the most part, it's like, oh yeah, like I killed this person. And like if anyone from anywhere else in the office walks in, I'm like, what did they just say?
Cut this guy's head off, damn.
And then I stabbed, excuse me?
What? Especially in London, you can't talk about stabbings, oh, no. Matthew.
No, don't worry, the office, we don't talk about gaming, it's just strictly work. I'm kidding.
Speaking about stabbings and I guess cutting people's heads off, you do both in a little big game called Ghost Runner 2.
Nice.
Dose. So Ghost of Runner. Have you heard of Ghost Runner?
So I've never played Ghost Runner. I know I've seen clips of the first one. All I know is that I think it's like a speedrunner's dream, because it's like not in the sense that it's just fun to play, because it's fast paced and it's about keeping your momentum and stringing together, I suppose, like the optimal path through enemies. If that makes sense.
Yeah, sort of. I think it's less speedrunning focused than like a
puzzle solving.
Neon White. It's more about. It's more about just like movement and efficiency and like almost like puzzle solving. So you never played Hotline Miami, correct?
I did. I played both, yeah.
Okay. So Ghost Runner is very Hotline Miami-esque, where like you'll be thrown into a sort of small little arena or a little sandbox arena, and you've got enemies placed in different parts and each enemy does a different thing. And you've got to kind of like surmise what is the best order to take these enemies out in, and also like how to efficiently get around the area. And it does this through a like first person, very parkour heavy veneer. And that's kind of what like Ghost Runner, the first one was. It was a lot of these smaller areas strung together. Its whole purpose was like, just to move you from one little combat arena to the next and make like moving around feel very good. Ghost Runner 2 is that, but in an attempt to expand on that, they've kind of like grown out the story like way more. I mean, there was a story in the first one, but it was like barely there. In this one, you have a side cast of characters constantly talking to you. Lots of exposition, lots of, I would say, attempted world building, because I straight up do not know what the fuck's going on half the time. But in amongst that, you're in these much broader levels where you are doing a lot of parkour, moving between these combat arenas. And then when you do get to them, it is the same sort of like nice flavor of, you know, take the enemies out in an order that you think is most efficient. So yeah. I think it retains a lot of what makes the first one really good. I think there's some pacing issues with its expansion into like a bigger sort of game, so to speak. Like you go for long periods of time where you're doing a lot of platforming and parkouring puzzles before you get to another point of like action, which I personally don't mind, because I think the first person platforming is really good here. I think it feels very good. You're very empowered to do a lot of things like wall running and dashing in midair. And later on, you're given powers that get used in like very inventive puzzle ways. Like I just finished a level where you get this ability to create like a clone of yourself that stays in place and you go invisible. But while that's pretty neat in combat because you can distract enemies, it's also used in puzzles where like a door is activated by a laser. So you can keep your clone on the laser and other doors on.
Yeah.
And then it's combined where like certain wall running platforms will only be active while this laser is active, but also they will alternate and turn on and off when the laser is not active. So you have to do the thing like you wall run or like you wall run, you jump, and in midair there's a laser. So you leave a clone midair and then you wall run again now that this other platform is on, and then you jump off and you've got to like expel your clone so that the next wall run comes active. It's like, very, very fast kinetic movements, and I think it works really well. There's a boss fight that later in that level takes place in like a sort of hacker view. Like if you're watching the video now, this is kind of where you are. You're like in a computer, so to speak. And there you can combine your abilities with another ability to like hack certain platforms into and out of existence. And there's a whole boss fight that combines that with your clones, with your like wall running. And it's a boss where fighting isn't really a factor. It's more like you are just trying to get up to a certain point and reach him. And it's just as exhilarating. It's really, really good. So yeah, I think it's so far I'm having a really good time. I just think that the story stuff is not hitting in a way. The little character hub that you visit between levels, I'm pretty much sprinting around there just trying to find my way to start the next level. I just want to get into the action. I think this game is best when you are figuring out how to take out enemies and just getting around rather than trying to listen to like why this cyberpunk dystopia has these now like four other old ghost runners trying to take over and this and this and that. And it also like doing some retroactive storytelling, like trying to explain the purpose of certain characters that you're working with now and where they were in the first game. It just feels a bit heavy-handed in like it's trying to do two games worth of storytelling in one, because they kind of figured out that maybe they want to tell a story, but they never really told a big one in the first game. So it's good. I think this is a sort of game that you especially would 100% enjoy this, like this is the sort of especially because it's challenging, like you would soak this all in. And it's challenging in a way where I don't think it's frustrating. Like it definitely is trial and error. Like when you see a big arena of enemies, it is unlikely you're always going to know exactly
the right
how to take them out. You're more going to like run through, get killed by one or two and be like, okay, now I know he's there. I also know he's got this ability. I've got to maybe take him out first or stuff like that. And it feels so good when you figure things out. Like you can string together so many cool moves, like, I don't know, deflecting a bullet back at an enemy. And as soon as you've done that, you throw like a shuriken to another one that stuns them, which allows you to like grapple to them. So that lets you like get across a gap and then you slice them open immediately. And yeah, so like you die in one hit and all enemies die in one hit. So that, you know, it evens the playing field. So you've got to be very careful about every single enemy. But at the same time, you don't have to be like hacking and slashing against bigger ones just because they're larger. So I think it's a very good balance.
I would probably enjoy this game. Like, probably is an understatement. I would enjoy this game.
I'm almost certain you would love this game.
What time? Well, maybe I'll get to it.
It's not that long. I think it's like 10 hours or so. Okay. You know, the first game was like half of that. It also looks really, really good. This on PC, you have to play it on PC. I can't imagine playing this with a controller. I know you can, but I just can't.
Yeah, I mean, if the level of precision you need for doing some of the puzzles as well, I mean,
yeah, some of the aiming precision you need, or just like the way I'm flicking my mouse around to like aim at certain things to activate certain things, I just don't. I've thought multiple times like I would not be able to play this with a controller. Like this is definitely a mouse and keyboard game to me. At the same time, I wish there was a more elegant way to switch between my powers on PC, because it's like you can only have one power active at a time and you've got to use like the numbers to switch between them. And that's very close to the Q where you activate them. So often I find myself activating it by accident when I'm trying to change them, and then I've wasted a bunch of energy and I can't get that back in a fight. So it's like maybe on a controller that's a bit more elegant, but
I don't know, it looks good.
So it's on consoles and PC,
not on Switch.
It's on Switch.
Highly doubt
this would be on Switch. But it's a good game. I think it's a solid sequel. I think it definitely is a case in some points biting off more than you can chew, but I think the action and the platforming are still very, very, very good. I do enjoy playing it.
Nice. That's Ghost Runner 2. That makes me wonder. The Hotline Miami peeps, what are they working on? I mean, Hotline Miami 2 came out a lifetime ago.
Good question, actually.
I mean, and those, I don't know. like Hotline Miami 1 for me was the first introduction to that sort of game of like moving through. It is like, it's you killing people, but it's also a puzzle in itself, trying to figure out what's the best way to empty a building. And I'd never played anything like that before. And I know, I mean, I think it inspired a lot of games like Ghost Runner in some ways.
Oh, yeah.
But I wonder what that studio is working on now. Because it's been a lifetime, actually. I mean, Hotline Miami 2 came out, that must be like 8 years ago, if I were to thumb suck a guess.
So Hotline Miami 2 came out in 2015. Yeah. Oh.
8 years ago.
First Hotline Miami came out 2012, and I distinctly remember that because it was shown off at a conference here in South Africa in my first year of game design. There was an Amaze festival here, and Hotline Miami was there.
You're like, whoa.
And everyone was talking about this game, like this insane. Yeah. So it says here on Wikipedia, on New Year's Eve, December 2020, so 3 years ago, Jonathan Soderstrom, one of the developers at Denaton Games, the creators of Miami, basically just posted a tweet saying that their new unannounced game is a passion project, so I'm not sure who will enjoy it, but I'm sure some people will be horrified and others delighted. And that's the last we've heard of that.
Don't know if I like that. We'll see. We'll see, I guess. Cool. Sorry for the sidebar. That is Ghost Runner 2. I think that's all we can talk about this week, really. We spoke about Mario, not going to touch on Spider-Man, which I guess means we get on to game releases.
Whew. Oh, I thought you had something to...
Totally
spaced out. Sorry.
I got nothing.
I'm not prepared.
We've covered everything.
I'm not prepared. Game releases. Wow, that's going to be a short episode. Game releases, we are looking at them from today, which is October 28th, all the way up to November 3rd, I think. Yeah, that's correct.
Sounds right.
Can you believe it? November.
Remember?
Wow, a lot happening on November 3rd, actually. Jesus. Okay, so let's get into it. We've got Headbangers Rhythm Royale coming to Switch, October 31st. Ooh, a game I'm quite excited for, Jouissant. That's that like platforming game. Looks really good. PlayStation, Xbox, PC, October 31st. Little Goody Two Shoes. PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC, October 31st. Silent Hill Ascension, iOS and Android. I think this is the sort of like film found footage thing. I don't know.
This is a weird one. I was going to say, this is all October 31st. There's a lot of horror games, I'm sure. A
lot of spookies. Mm. Yeah. The Foglands, PlayStation 5 and PSVR 2, October 31st.
Sure.
You Will Die Here Tonight.
Horror game. Ominous. Must be.
Yeah. PC, October 31st. Then we move out of the spooky season into November.
Love the name of this
the
game.
The bed we made.
Make your bed.
Jokes on you, I never make the bed.
What? How dare you?
PS5, PC, November 1st. Oh, Achilles, Legends Untold.
Spoiler, the heel's the weak point. There, I just told you the legend. You don't have to play the game.
PlayStation, Xbox, and PC if you want to play Achilles, November 2nd. Phantom Galaxies coming to PC, November 2nd. Whoa, Power Wash Simulator VR.
Hide your John Michaels.
Hide your Tracys. Noel's just shoving Tracy into a cupboard.
Like, no quest or anything for you.
MetaQuest 2, MetaQuest 3, and the MetaQuest Pro.
Listen, I joke about Power Wash because I've never played it. I'm sure it's very, very therapeutic. But playing in VR must be amazing if you're into Power Wash.
I wish I could get into the Zen therapeutic mode with that game. I find it so frustrating. I'm just like, fuck, this is taking so long.
Yeah, my thing is I'll get into a level, be like, oh my God, there's so much to clean.
It takes so long. RoboCop Rogue City coming to PC, Xbox, and PS5 November 2nd.
Nice.
Keen to try that out. Mm-hmm. Thirsty Suitors. What is this game?
I remember it being shown.
People are going nuts about this
somewhere.
Game.
It looked good. I can't even tell you
what. Is it like a party game?
Genre it is. I don't think so.
Oh, it's not. What is this? Oh, it's from. It's an Annapurna.
Oh, well, there you go.
From Outer Loop Games comes Thirsty Suitors, a game about culture, relationships, family pressures, and expressing oneself.
Oh my God. Skate, grind, and wall run across timber hills with intricate movesets, combos, and challenges. There you go. Thirsty Suitors.
Thirsty Suitors is a turn-based battle game with skateboarding and cooking. That's a lot. That's a lot for a sentence.
That is hilarious.
Okay.
Things I never expected to hear.
Xbox, Xbox One, PlayStation, Switch, PC, November 2nd. Get your cooking, skating, and turn-based on.
There is a demo on Steam.
Oh, is it?
It's 28th of July. There you go.
Can give that a go.
Thirsty Suitors.
Esports WRC. So I guess that's World Rally
World
Cross.
Rally. Yeah. Is it not World Rally Championship or World Rally Cross?
Wow, you might be right, actually.
World Rally.
Just says WRC and everything I'm looking at. We'll never know, Matthew. It's impossible.
We'll never know.
Fashion Dreamer coming to Switch November 3rd. Wow. Jumanji, Wild Adventures. PlayStation, Xbox, everything. Switch, and PC. November 3rd. Warcraft Rumble coming out to iOS and Android November 3rd. Yeah, that's BlizzCon this weekend, isn't it?
Oh, is it? I actually have no idea. I've seen nothing.
It's BlizzCon this weekend. Let's see, BlizzCon 2023.
Warcraft Rumble.
Is... It's next weekend. Never mind, it's next weekend.
It's typically November.
Last one, WarioWare Move It. Oh, Warcraft Rumble. Yeah, is it like a Clash of... Not Clash of Clash, Clash Royale thing?
I have no idea. But you best believe I'll try it. No, I remember seeing a trailer a while ago, but I didn't realize it's out so soon. Well, I'll say soon. They showed this game off a long time ago. I guess now it's coming out. Don't know. Let's see.
Last game, WarioWare Move It, coming to Switch November 3rd.
Have you played a WarioWare game ever?
No.
They are the best. You have to.
I know the one you played last time where you pulled hairs out of a statue's arms.
That's... WarioWare games, in a nutshell, you do the most absurd mini games and they are amazing. I think WarioWare Move
And then
it
at the
is...
end, you kill Mario.
Oh my God, spoilers. WarioWare Move It, I think, is a multiplayer Wario game with tons of mini games. You can play alone, but you can play with friends as well. I imagine it'll be a good time. So, yeah, that is all the games coming out this week.
When is Waluigi getting his own game?
I don't know if he actually has his own game. Who cares about Waluigi?
Tragedy. We should get Waluigi's Mansion.
An alternate game. It's literally just Luigi's Mansion, but with Waluigi. And instead of just don't
Every
see
time
anything.
He sees a ghost.
I don't know. Waluigi, the last time I saw him was in the, what is it? Tennis Aces.
Oh, Mario Tennis Aces. Was he in the golf one?
He was in the golf until you're out.
That was afterwards as well, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and that's even from the same studio. Man, what is time?
No, but you're remembering the... Also, the soccer one came out after that as well, so...
Is Waluigi in that football one?
Oh, that I don't know. I never played that one.
Mario Superstars.
I maintain that Tennis Aces was fantastic and golf was disappointing.
I enjoy Tennis Aces. I don't know why...
Fucking love Tennis Aces. Played so much of that. Mm. Yeah, so good.
It's good. News. This is a week of emptiness, let me tell you. It's a barren desert. Apart from Ghost Runner and us speaking nonsense, we've got such little news.
Do you know what else is a barren desert? Johannesburg at the moment. Oh my God.
I mean,
give it water.
I guess, should we start with old you know what? With old Metal Gear Solid 3 getting a little, we got a little look at it at, so Xbox had a surprise partner showcase, which was like, I guess for all intents and purposes, like a mini direct from Nintendo, but Xbox's own version.
Yeah, kind of.
Where they showed a lot of stuff we knew about, one or two new reveals, but I think the biggest thing to
didn't
come out of
this
that,
to
yeah,
be there, I won't lie.
Did not expect Metal Gear Solid 3 to make an appearance in a brand new trailer which shows what the game will look like. It's in Unreal Engine 5, right?
5, yeah, that's correct.
I mean, it looks good.
It's
like it's pretty.
It looks good. Okay, so it doesn't look bad. It looks good, but it also just looks like a
1-to-1.
I say this without sounding like really shitty. You know, like when you used to get those fan remakes in like Unreal Engine, they're like, look, I remade The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time in Unreal Engine.
Mm.
And you look at it, you're like, yep, that is definitely that, but boy, this looks weird.
Mm.
It just looks so sterile and clean, and
yeah,
that's the sort of vibe I get from this.
But I don't know, it's
not in a bad way. Like, I'm looking at it and like, yeah, I want to play this, but at the same time, it just doesn't, you know, when you look at something like RE4 remake, you're like, this looks like RE4, but there's an artistic difference that makes it stand out as like, this looks fantastic.
Yes.
Like, I feel like this is missing that. I don't know what that element is, but it's missing that, you know? This just feels like a very 1-to-1.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder, is it a 1-to-1 game? Like, is it literally going to be, this is Metal Gear Solid 3, but it's just going to look really pretty. Like, look at the shiny
environment.
There's
no way they can do the, like, transition between areas like the old game. That would be nuts.
I don't know. Maybe they give you a switch in the menu and say, here you go.
That would be so stupid.
It would be.
That would be so silly. It has to be like a very seamless, you know, like interconnected world. It can't just be like, here's the small area with one guard and to the left and the right are two different portals to other areas. Like,
No. But look, Metal Gear Solid 3 is a fantastic game, which I played many years after its heyday. I played it on Vita.
The best Metal Gear.
Still loved the heck out of it, but I do wonder if that game today holds up. Like, I think it would. Like, it's got its old charm.
If you play the original, definitely has like its charm. Yeah. And I don't think it feels as old as 1 and 2, where, you know, like mechanically, especially 1, like, feels a bit like weird to play if you don't already know how to play it. I think 3 feels weird, like the controls are strange, but like you can grapple with them, they're fine. Like, they're totally okay. It's a good game. I played it like a couple of years ago as well.
I mean, will I play Metal Gear Solid Triangle? You best believe I will.
I'll definitely play Metal Gear Solid Trigonometry. Yeah.
When is this coming out?
They haven't said, as far as I know. Okay. No, not even like a window. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, on that, if you are looking for some sweet nostalgia, you can play through all these games currently with the Metal Gear Solid Collection, which is last week, I think.
Also, like the bare minimum for a collection, as far as
they're all in the same place.
It's more like,
there you go.
Hey, you can play them now.
Yeah,
like that's what you wanted. You can play them. Oh, what about nice modern day features? No, that's not what we.
You
promised.
Get nothing.
No.
So yeah, we got a little look at that. Do you want to jump to anything specifically, or must I just nitpick what you have?
Skull and Bones got delayed again.
I mean,
this is the new Activision Blizzard news.
Yeah, there you go. Oh yeah,
because
Xbox got Activision Blizzard. We covered that behemoth over like a year or two. Skull and Bones is our replacement because you're going to hear about it all the time. This week delayed, next week delayed even further. The following week cancelled, maybe. We don't know.
It's just the most Well, so Eurogamer sums it up quite nicely. Been in development since 2013, repeated delays, and then its official unveiling happened in 2017. I was there. I was at that E3.
6 years ago.
And then it's just been delayed, 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 apparently rebooted, delayed, delayed, delayed. It is now going to come out in the first few months of 2024, if you believe that. I mean, if you take us back a year, it was meant to come out in the early months of 2023. That didn't happen. So who the fuck knows what's going on?
This game is going to launch. I sincerely hope it doesn't tank, but just the development, how it's gone through, I'm like, I don't know how good this game will be. Is it worth it to have a pirate ship simulator, which is an interesting premise, but good God, is it worth the 10 years it's taken to develop? Like,
no.
I mean, are they hanging on to it now purely because, like, they own the idea of, like, well, no one else has made a pirate simulator game?
I think it's the biggest, like, sunk cost fallacy ever. It's like, we have put so much money into this, we just can't.
You just can't, yeah.
Can't, like, afford, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I hate to see it.
Also delayed was Ubisoft's latest Mystery Large game, which back in May, before it was even revealed, Kotaku reported that it was, like, Ubisoft's massive Star Wars game, which was then revealed at E3 as Star Wars Outlaws, if you recall. That was actually originally meant to launch before April next year, which seems insane. That's obviously now been pushed to the next financial year. So it can come out probably end of next year, which is when I assume it will come out. Yeah. Still on the slate for this financial year, so coming out before April next year, is Assassin's Creed Nexus VR, the VR Assassin's Creed thing. Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, do you remember that's coming out in December?
Good God.
Cool. Just Dance 2024. Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, very keen on that.
That looks way better than it has any business looking.
That looks bloody fantastic. Yeah. I'm really keen on that. And then Skull and Bones. Free-to-play titles for Rainbow Six Mobile, The Division Resurgence, and X-Defiant are also scheduled to arrive before 31st of March next year. But
X-Defiant
just got indefinitely delayed, so who knows about that one.
Oh, my God.
X-Defiant was meant to be out now, but it isn't, so yeah.
Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown is the only thing I have my eye on. That's
same. So good. Very keen on that.
It's
same.
Real good. Maybe they'll surprise us with the Skull and Bones next year. But you know what else we're getting surprised with next year?
Yes.
Apparently something big. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth devs have a big surprise planned for its most iconic scene.
I forgot this is out in like fucking February.
Mm-hmm. It's 3 months
Holy
away,
shit.
Just about. Love to
Holy
see.
Holy shit.
So
that's crazy.
If you don't know, if you've never played Final Fantasy VII, you don't know any of its story beats, and you've somehow missed.
I think you muted yourself. Oh, okay, never mind. Your sound is back now.
Oh,
that was
so weird.
Nope, muted again.
What? How am I muted?
Now you're back.
I'm so confused. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I literally did not touch anything. So if you've not played Final Fantasy VII, you know nothing about the story, and you've missed the spoiler somehow, turn away.
This is like as big a spoiler as like Bruce Willis being dead in The Sixth Sense. It's like you're born knowing the spoiler. Like
it's the first thing parents teach their children. They say, "Listen, welcome.
Darth Vader
welcome
is
the
Luke's father.
Bruce Willis is dead in The Sixth Sense, and Aerith dies in Final Fantasy VII." Hate to break it to you. So we obviously getting a Final Fantasy VII remake across three parts. We've had the first part, and then the second part is going to cover that iconic scene. Also, we believe, because the first part of Final Fantasy VII's remake is basically established like, hey, here's the same core beat, but also we've got free creative liberty now because reasons, which I'm not going to get into.
And they have been using that liberty. And I mean, if you played the first part, you'll know that, I mean, you literally fight against the expectations of where the story is meant to go. Like, they are getting very meta about, like, going in a different direction.
So there are big question marks on whether Square will actually kill off Aerith or not in the remake. And we don't know yet, but this article is basically them saying, like, oh, we have it. You have no idea what's going to happen.
Spoiler, so, Aerith kills Sephiroth.
Oh my God, can you imagine? I mean, I was saying before we started recording, maybe they kill someone else. Like, can you imagine they say, oh, Aerith is fine, but Tifa dies. The outrage, but the impact it will cause. People won't forget that either. Like, oh, 20 years from now when they remake 7, they'll be like, okay.
Here's my pitch. Here's my pitch.
I'm ready.
Zack is back, right? Yes,
he does.
He does. Oh, saving Aerith.
Oh my God. I could 100% believe that. But I think she has to die at some point.
The tears.
That would be so cruel. They bring him back like, your boy Zack, he's fine, but we're going to kill him again. I'd be very upset. But I could actually get behind that. So you, I wouldn't be surprised if that's a big surprise, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rebirth. Out in 3 to 4 months. It is so close. I cannot wait. Yeah. In other news, I thought I lost a news piece. Super Mario Wonder is the fastest selling Mario game ever in Europe.
Wild.
It is wonderful, so Nintendo would say. never miss opportunity to slot that in anywhere now with Mario Wonder. Do they have a number here somewhere? Or is it just literally Nintendo going, hey, that's the best selling game?
No, basically they said, the company announced, this is on Eurogamer, the company announced the statistic today on social media, though did not provide any concrete sales. We'll probably only get those, you know, when they do their quarterly sales updates and whatever, and we see like Mario's sold like 10 billion copies or whatever.
I mean, Elephant Mario, look at this.
Wild, yeah. I don't know what these sort of figures are for like Mario Odyssey or whatever in Europe. We'd have to like add those up to kind of get an idea. But you know, if Nintendo is saying this, I back them. I don't think they'll just say this for shits and giggles. Like also they specifically mention Europe and not America and Japan. So obviously,
that's a
you know, deal. Europe made a big impact. Yeah. Mm. So yeah, that's cool. It's great that people still have an appetite for 2D Marios. I think there's, you know, a lot of appetite for the 3D stuff now, and I think the 3D games are really, really good. But I think the 2D games haven't been as good as they could have been for a while. And it's like Mario Wonder. I mean, I've heard anecdotally some people saying it's like their favorite 2D Mario ever.
Sure.
That's huge. So yeah.
Next 3D Mario game, Bowser's Fury 2, I'm telling you. But that's I would love that. Did you play Bowser's Fury? No. Or did you?
Mm-mm.
I haven't yet. It is really worth playing. Honestly, if you want 3 to 4 hours to kill on a good 3D Mario game, it is such a good pitch for what the next the 3D Mario game could be. And I 100% believe that's what it is going to be. It's real, real good.
I'm curious to see what they do. I feel like another Mario game would have to be, another 3D one would have to be like a launch title for
Switch 2.
The next Switch.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I could almost see it being, I mean, I don't know if that would be it, but how Breath of the Wild was like you could play Breath of the Wild on the Wii U, which is quite wild to think. I wouldn't be surprised if the next Mario game is that, like it's a launch title for the new Switch, but also available on the Switch. But I don't know. Do they want to push people to the new console? Probably. So we'll see. Last two pieces of news. Sony confirms the departure of veteran exec Connie Booth after more than 30 years. Who is Connie Booth? I don't even know.
Yeah, so Connie Booth has been at Sony, like it says, for 30 years, for a very long time.
That is a lifetime.
Yeah, one of the longest standing executives at the company. You know, worked with your Sean Leydens and now your Jim Ryans and stuff like that. So, yeah, she's been there since 1995. She was a producer at Naughty Dog and helped launch, you know, Crash Bandicoot. Mm. And has worked on pretty much all the famous, like, PlayStation titles since then. There's been a bit of like weirdness around this departure because Sony's framing it as a departure, but there's like indications that she was actually fired. So David Jaffe, former game director at what was that studio called?
Is that not Sony, Santa Monica,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Discussed it in a video saying that Booth had been fired amidst longer-term internal tensions and PlayStation Studios moving to develop more live service games. So there's this whole like conversation around whether or not there is this infighting inside Sony amongst like executives in PlayStation Studios who are like butting heads over this direction for live service games. And it seems like Connie Booth and Jim Ryan were really in pushing in this direction of live service, seeing it as the future and the sustainable future, whereas PlayStation Studios and specifically head of Worldwide Studios, Herman Hulst, did not agree with this. Mm. And I don't think necessarily like Herman Hulst has the power to oust both Jim Ryan and Connie Booth, but with Jim Ryan going, there maybe is a shift in sentiment over this idea. And with Booth now being there for so long and like having backed this idea, just makes sense for her to move on. Mm. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think this is also any indication that Sony is deviating from its live service games, because like it has multiple projects announced that it is still ongoing with.
Mm.
So, and furthermore, David Jaffe in his video, like, he made the suggestion or said he had heard that Herman Hulst, when he came into his position as head of Worldwide Studios, basically wanted to axe all Japan studios. And I just do not believe that. Like, yeah, straight up, categorically, I cannot envision, firstly, A, why that would make sense, or B, that would actually be a conversation had. So, like, take things that, I would say take things that are said on David Jaffe's podcast with a grain of salt.
But he's no longer at Sony, right? He hasn't been for a long time.
He's not, but he keeps citing like friends that he still has there, which I'm sure is very true. But, you know, as anything, like even at a company that you work for, just because you've heard something doesn't necessarily mean it's true, especially when it comes into like C-suite executives or stuff. By the same token, things said in meetings don't necessarily carry the same context that they do. Like, you hearing about Herman Hulst wanting to axe Japan studios, and that makes a headline today. Just like a few weeks ago, the headline of Phil Spencer wanted to buy Nintendo was floating around, where if you actually read into that story, it was more Phil Spencer trying to convince another executive that buying Nintendo was a terrible idea by laying out a plan of how they would go about buying Nintendo. Like, kind of like showing this is a terrible idea by showing you what the idea would be, you know what I mean? But everyone just remembers, no, Microsoft wanted to buy Nintendo. And now PlayStation wants to axe Japanese studios. It's like, that's not necessarily maybe what the actual conversation was, but anyway.
No, but also on that, it's now I know we're deviating from the story here, but the whole Sony Live discussion, the game, the live discussion vision, it's just weird to me, given that like we've just had Spider-Man 2, which is selling so much money. God of War last year sold so many copies. I don't know, is that what will that still exist long term? I don't know, but they definitely winning on the single player front, so I don't know.
I think everyone's still in that sort of like they're looking at the Fortnites and the Apexes and stuff, and they're like, if we just have one game that has that same impact, like it is a game changer, you know. So I think that always pursue it. I do agree with you. I hope it doesn't come at the expense of their single player stuff, which I think is still their biggest strength, yeah. even though, and this doesn't apply to Spider-Man because I think Spider-Man somehow sidestepped this, but prior to Spider-Man, I started getting the sense that a lot of Sony's like story narrative-based games were all following the same sort of formulaic like template.
Yeah.
And it was getting very evident and very tiresome. And yeah. I think that's why I didn't enjoy God of War Ragnarok as much as I did yeah. the first one, which felt very novel at the time. Mm. So yeah, they've got two pitfalls to kind of like navigate now, like
yeah.
keeping story-based games interesting and fun and like whatever the hell this live service push is.
Yeah.
So,
we'll see. Yeah.
Remember that one with Jade Raymond there? Playgrounds or Fair Play or Fair Games? I don't know. It had a weird name. That game looks shit.
Hate to see it. Also, Naughty Dog's The Last of Us.
Apparently cancelled.
Where is
apparently.
It?
Apparently.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Last piece of news for this week. So earlier in the week, we saw, hey, Robert Pattinson's Batsuit is on Epic. And we're all like, hey, Darren, look what they've just added to Arkham Knight. Go, like, here's another reason to play the game. And Darren was right, like, oh, my God, nice suit. Very cool. that suit has since been taken off from Epic Games Store. And
yeah.
it's not clear why, says Eurogamer.
It was weird because it was only added to one version of the game. It was the Epic Games Store version. And then it was up for like a couple of hours and then just removed.
I mean, it was there. There are screenshots and everything. Like it's this isn't, from what I can see, like a mod or a hoax or anything. Like it is legitimately there. I don't know what happened though. Like I think this article does go on to say that the prevailing theory among fans appears to be that its arrival was premature, caused by some behind-the-scenes development mishap, and that Pattinson suit's official release, presumably as a free update for all platforms, would coincide with the upcoming Switch port of the Arkham trilogy.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense, yeah. I was wondering what sort of like anniversary or big event connected to the game was actually on the horizon, and I forgot that, yeah, it's coming to Switch, so... Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, they'll put that out and be like, and hey, on PC and other consoles, you get the Pattinson suit.
I wonder what Arkham Knight will look like on the Switch. I'm sure...
not good.
Yeah, because that's a visually stunning game. But what do you think about Asylum and Arkham City? They should be...
I think Asylum will transfer pretty well, because that's also a bit more of a cartoony...
Mm.
Not cartoony, but more stylized look, whereas, you know... Arkham Knight is definitely more in the realism side of it. I don't know, though. Arkham Knight worked on PlayStation 4. That's where I played it.
Yeah. The
it
Switch is
ran
like
at 30 FPS, but it purposes, worked.
The Switch is, for all intents and purposes, like a PS4 and Xbox One machine, almost.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. But, I mean, the stuff that has worked on there has transitioned kind of well over... Mm. To the, I don't know, maybe it could work. I think if they put in the work, they, you know, Doom worked extremely well on the Switch, Doom Eternal not so much, but the first Doom worked incredibly well, and
yeah.
I think that was like a year after Batman, so yeah
well,
different engine entirely, but yeah,
you get the point. I think that we said there was no news this week. There was news, but I mean, there was no like whoa, huge headlines.
No bangers.
But that is news for this week.
I guess that means we're moving on to questions. If you want to send us questions, you can email us checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. We can find us on social media at checkpointchat. Any of the social channels there. Just send a message.
All the
just
places.
Send a message.
And let me tell you, we have a whole no questions on any platform this week.
Absolutely rude.
Hate to see
what I'm going
to
say. Just going to say, you made me say that whole rigmarole knowing
I know,
that there were none. And you were just like,
I mean, I think
I'm just going to let him go for it.
I think it's good to say it anyway. just so people who might be new can know, like, oh, hey, I can just
absolute share devastation right now.
Yep, we got sweet nothing. I tried. But yeah, I guess
I'm also got no video feed on the video now. Oh my goodness.
What?
No one saw that. Okay.
What happened on the video?
I don't know. It went black. What did you do on your side?
I was closing some windows.
Yeah, exactly. Closing my window, more like
it. It's when I maximize another window. I think it just kills you all. It's like, now you're not priority anymore. Get out of here.
It's just like, no questions, no Sandy. No Sandy. No nothing.
This is a solo podcast. Now. I'm the captain now.
Yeah. I guess if you do want to send questions next week, you can. checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. Start sending us your Game of the Year lists. I mean, we're getting to that time of year. I feel like the big releases are done now. Like Call of Duty's out, but like there's nothing major
is
left.
Call of
this
Duty
year.
Out?
No.
It's coming. Like
the next.
Oh, the next year. Big one. But I mean, yeah, I've seen on Twitter a lot of people have come out like, "Okay, hey, these are my top six predictions," because Alan Wake 2 was the last big AAA game. It's a AAA.
I definitely think I could draw up my. I can't draw it up now because there's still games I need to get to. But like in terms of predictions, definitely could. I don't think there's anything coming out in November that would change those.
No. Yeah, send us your prediction list. I mean, I'm sure as we get towards the end of the year, we will do our game of the years and we'll cover
as much as I want games to succeed. I highly doubt Avatar Frontiers of Pandora is going to move the needle on my game of the year predictions.
But also that's December, which means it misses that could be
I'll be done by then. Like
it could be game of the year for next year. You never know.
Yeah, good luck to you in 2024.
Good lord. Cool. Well, that means we are done for this week. A nice little toy episode.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving you 20 minutes back because we're on
of your time.
We're an hour and
if you're still 10-ish. 20 minutes away from work, well, guess what? You could have sent a message and
yeah, this is on you, not us.
And avoided this.
Mm.
But if you have listened, thank you as always. We appreciate you. We are nearing the end of the year, so everyone is a bit low on energy, and we hope this gives you a bit more pep whenever you listen.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bye.